Right, what's going on, guys? This is End Time Headlines. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. We've got an interesting topic today. I'm going to share a personal testimony. We did a poll. We asked many of our viewers that were watching our one of our podcasts. We've done so many. I can't even. I think it was like two nights ago we did a podcast, and I asked the audience, how many has ever heard my personal testimony of when God called me to the ministry? And I was shocked at how many people never heard it. So that's a good thing, because that lets me know that our ministry is growing and we've got a lot of new viewers and subscribers that have never heard this testimony. Now, why am I going to share this testimony? I want to share this because it's going to encourage you. It's going to build up your faith, because we never know what audience that's listening. We don't know the background. We don't know the situation that individuals may be in when they listen to this. So maybe you're a new Christian, new convert, and you're still searching out and you're seeking your call and what God has called you to do. So I want to bring a word of encouragement today. I want to share this personal testimony, and then I want to pray for many of you guys as well. So without further ado, let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, again, we welcome you to the program. Listen, if you're new, first time joining us, first time stumbling across our broadcast, maybe you're listening by Apple, by Spotify, let us know in the comment section below if you're able to let us know that where you guys are joining us from, and if you're new, and again, what city, what location. If you're outside of the United States, whatever the case may be, we'd love to hear from you and get some feedback. Also, if you don't mind, guys, can you take a literally 1 second, go and smash that like button. And that's going to help push this out on these algorithms so other people can find our content on Rumble, YouTube, or wherever you may be watching this. You guys listen by Apple or by Spotify, if you'll do us a favor, give us a good review there. That's going to help push this out on those platforms as well. And you can take it a step further. Hit the subscribe button. Hit that bell notification. That's going to keep you informed on these platforms. It's going to keep you up to date on these social media platforms of when we go live and when we do these updates and so on and so forth. Then to the best way to follow us, and I tell all of our regular viewers this, and if you're new, we do have a free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Go to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you. Download our free app. Hit yes to push notifications. Every headline, every podcast, every article, breaking news, everything's going to be right at your fingertips. All right, so we're going to go right over here into the book of Galatians chapter 5. This is going to kind of be our little foundational passage, and then I'm just going to kind of just run with this thing. And again, if you're just tuning in live down there on the bottom of in the chat on YouTube, tonight I want to share with you the supernatural encounter I had with God, wherein which I was called into full-time ministry. So, all right, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This is what the Apostle Paul says. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, this is important. Watch this. And these are contrary to one another. And I really want to home in on this, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You do not do the things you wish. So it's interesting here that Paul is emphasizing the importance of walking in the Spirit. I want you to say that with me, walking in the Spirit. Why? Because when you are walking in the Spirit, what does that even mean? I know some people say, I don't even understand what that means, Brother Ricky. Can you elaborate on what it means to walk in the Spirit? What it literally means, if to make this very simple, in simple terms, walking in the Spirit means that you're actively pursuing God. You're actively chasing after God, pursuing God, walking in fellowship with Him. You're actively reading the Bible so that you can hear from Him, and you're actively in a time of prayer so that you can speak to Him, you can commune with Him. Again, I've said this in simplistic terms, and we don't want to just put God in a box and say this is the only way he can speak to us. But one of the primary ways that God speaks to us as believers is through the written word of God. Okay? So when we read the word, we're hearing the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Now, again, and I'm not saying that you have to read it only, but when you, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, you can get it from reading the word. You can hear the Bible by audio. You can hear preaching sermons, podcasts, whatever the case may be. That's what builds your faith. Your faith grows by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when we read the word, we position ourselves to hear from God. When we go into a time of prayer, we position ourselves to bring our petitions, our prayers, and our needs and intercessions before God. So we're speaking to him. Y'all see what I'm saying here? So you pray to speak to him. You read your Bible to hear from him. All right? So to walk in the Spirit, you're actively praying, actively reading the word or hearing the word. You're in his presence. You're obeying the word of God. You're walking in the Spirit. You're walking in obedience. You're actively in a relationship with Christ. Okay? This is what it means to be walking in the Spirit. So then Paul emphasizes the walking in the flesh. Now, think about everything that is opposing that, everything that is the opposite of everything I just said. So if you're not in your Bible, you're not in prayer, you're not in church or gathering with other believers, you're not in his presence, you're not engaged in praise, you're not engaged in worship and your devotion time, then you know what's going to happen? The dog you feed is going to be the dog that grows. Let me say that again. The dog you feed will be the dog that grows. You feed your flesh is going to grow, and you're going to be walking according to the flesh. You're going to be acting out, and you're going to be responding by the impulses of your carnal nature and not by the Spirit. On the other hand, if you're actively walking in the Spirit, doing the things that I just went over, you're going to be spiritually minded and engaged and in tune with the Holy Spirit. Thus, you will do things that the Lord desires for you to do. You'll be walking in the Spirit. You'll be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Now, why is this important, and what does this have to do with your calling, Brother Ricky? I know. I have to emphasize this all the time. Trust me. I know I've gotten off the highway, and I'm taking a byway, and I'm taking a side road. But I promise you, this all intersects back together. The reason this is important is because when we get saved, born again, our name is put in the Lamb's Book of Life, we've been regenerated, praise God, that is the introduction of our Christian lifestyle and walk. That is not where we hang our hat. That is not where we sit down and we call it a day. And we don't do anything else for the kingdom of God from that point on. No. Being born again is the introduction to this walk. So you get born again. Now you've got to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You begin to seek after him with all of your heart. You begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and he begins to fill you. Then he's got more for you. He wants you, you get saved, and then the Bible commands us, not a suggestion, it commands us to be baptized in Jesus' name, water baptized. Why? Because this is an outward expression of an inward change, an inward transformation. Then you go to Acts chapter 1. Let me show you this. I'll pull this up. I've got all this highlighted for you so you can find. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, who's them? The early church, the early apostles that were gathered there, those individuals that were there. Okay. And the Bible says there was over 500 brethren before the day of Pentecost in the upper room. Once the upper room came, the day of Pentecost, there was 380 of them people. We don't know what happened to them. They left. They're gone. They're absent. Okay? But then there was 120. But we know here that there was an assembly together with Jesus. And listen to what he says here. And being assembled together with them, I'm in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. This is important. He commanded them. He didn't suggest to them. He commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but they were to wait for the promise of the Father, which the Lord said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with, look at this, the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. And then he goes on further in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and he tells them the purpose of this. You shall receive power. That's dunamis. That's power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and it will enable you to be witnesses to me. And in that time, it was Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. To us today, in our modern vernacular, that would be, and you shall be witnesses to me in, again, your location, your region, your proximity, wherever God's put you and positioned you for such a time as this. And by the way, the power, the dunamis power that comes with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which, by the way, Jesus commanded them to receive, not suggested, but you'd be surprised because there's a lot of folks out there that's been taught by their denomination, by their pastor, by their preacher, by their seminary school, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is either not necessary, it's done away with, it's demonic, all this nonsense that they've been taught, and you have to peel like onions these layers of misinformation, disinformation, and just doctrinal dogma that is leading people completely astray and away from the truth. So this word power, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This power is given to us so that we can carry out Mark 16. Let me go there. Mark 16, verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means harm them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. John 14, 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And look at this. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified through my Son. You say, well, that's good, Brother Ricky. What does that got to do with your calling? Well, I'm glad you asked, because now I'm going to get to that. You see, up to that point of walking in my calling, I had received salvation on June 2nd of 2000. In a small country church in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. It was a COGOP. Anybody know what that is? Anybody know what that acronym is? COGOP. Come on, hit me up in the chat. I want to see if you know what this is. I'll come back to it later. I just want to check and see if who knows what that is. But I was saved, and this was the denomination that I was a part of when I first got saved, first gave my heart to the Lord. And so I walked through that door of salvation. Now I have walked into the introduction level of Christianity. I'm born again. Hallelujah. Then I began, as time progressed, I was hungrier than ever for the Word of God, just consuming the Word, digesting the Word. And I would go and I would read in the book of Acts how the early church and the early apostles were going about preaching the gospel. And all through these cities and these regions. And they were preaching the gospel, and people were receiving Christ, and they were receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I would read this, and it would intrigue me, because again, this was all foreign to me. I was not raised in church, friend. I was raised in a home by a backslidden mother. Now, she told me about Jesus. She would tell me about God. She'd tell me about Jesus. But she was backslid. And she backslid before she fully matured in Christ. So she was a babe in Christ. Didn't have a very firm foundation. Again, this is the sower and the seed. But because of the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, all these things, it pulled her astray. She got just completely wrapped up in all kinds of things like alcoholism and so on and so forth. But she had the seed, are you hearing me? The seed of the Word of God was planted in her because she knew about Christ. She knew she was walking with God at one time, but she fell away. I know some of y'all don't believe in falling away, but the Bible does. The Apostle Paul believes in it because he warned about it. He warned Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that one of the signs in the end times, and he told Timothy this, and he even said, he even made this really bold. He said, the Holy Spirit expressively says into his letter to Timothy that in the latter days, in the last days, that some will depart from the faith. Again, it's amazing to me. It absolutely blows my mind that preachers and denominations get up and tell their people that that people of God, Christians, cannot fall away, that they can't backslide, when the Bible tells you contradictory of this. Over and over again in Paul's letters, he addresses this. Paul addresses Timothy. He says that some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He talks about, he names individuals in his letters that had departed from the faith because they loved this present world more. He talks about standing fast in the liberty and wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So let me go back to this. So I had an introduction to Christianity. I was saved, born again. So, but now I was hungry. And I would read about these stories in the book of Acts of how these people were being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'd been studying the Gospels. I've been studying the book of John, and I came across those passages about you shall receive power in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I read in John, it says that it's expedient for me to go away, and if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. And when he, the Paracletos, comes, he will show you all things. He'll bring to remembrance the things which I've said, and he'll show you things to come. Then I read in Mark 16 that the same power that raised Christ from the dead also dwells in me, and these signs is going to follow those that believe. And that God enables me and gives me the ability and the power and the authority to cast out devils and heal the sick and come on and do these things. I read this, but yet watch this. I was around individuals that didn't believe this. They were saved. They were born again, but they were taught that all of the supernatural God is done away with. This is why I'm so passionate about preaching this and unraveling this nonsense that people's been taught this stuff. So I was told it was demonic. It was not of God, but I knew, I felt in my heart that I was like, why would God put this in there if it was not of God? And I know what I feel. So I began to pursue the Lord, and I asked him for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I don't want to get into this, because if I get into this, into the details of this, then I'm not going to be able to share this whole testimony, that which is the original reason why I wanted to share this with you. But to make a long story short, some of you've heard this story. It was a supernatural encounter with God. God baptized me in the Holy Ghost. Come on, the dunamis power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, the same power of the Holy Ghost that came in Acts chapter 2, that's still for us today, Joel chapter 2, God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters are going to be recipients of this. And I was one of those sons that was a recipient of this. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. God gave me a prayer language. And then once that happened, the whole Bible came alive, and I was hungrier than ever for what God had for my life. So this was a quick work. I was saved. I was water baptized. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. But then something interesting happened. And on the timeline of this, at this point, I was working at a place in Louisville, Kentucky. I lived in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. I was working at a place in Louisville, Kentucky. So it was roughly about a 35-minute drive, and I would have to take a major interstate there in Louisville. If you guys live in that area, you know what I'm talking about, but it's called 65, Interstate 65. And I had to go there, I'd have to get on 65 northbound to go there. So let me go right to, and I'm going to give details of this. That's the whole purpose of me talking about this. So I remember being at work. I worked at a place called UPS Logistics. Now, if you heard my podcast Two nights ago, you'll remember me bringing this workplace up because I shared about personal testimonies that took place when I was working there during that time frame. So this was the place I was working. And while I was there, I was on a, we were on a lunch break. And so here I am in the cafeteria. I'm sitting at the table with all these people, my coworkers. And then there was newspapers. I don't even, again, who reads? There's hardly anybody that reads newspapers anymore. It's crazy. But anyway, there was a newspaper out. So I picked it up. And it was the local newspaper. And on the very front page, right there on the bottom section, it had a story about a man. And it was like, I can't explain this, guys. Now, looking back in retrospect, I understand why. But at that time, I didn't understand. But it was almost like God, like, you know how you could take a camera? You could take these new Android cameras and iPhone cameras, or you can go buy an expensive set-alone camera. And there's what's called, I believe it's called portrait mode, if I'm not mistaken, or one of those modes where it makes whatever's in the forefront, it'll make it clear and detailed, but everything in the back becomes blurry. It was almost like God did that to this headline, this story. Well, I looked at the whole newspaper, but everything else around it was kind of blurry, but this one story stood out. So I began to read this story, and it was a story about an accident that took place the day before. And in this accident, there was a man traveling 65 northbound, blew a tire, his car began to fishtail. He went over into ongoing traffic and struck another car that had individuals in this car. And all in all, I believe it was, I want to say it was like four people died. It was either four or five people died in that car accident. And I remember reading this, and it was like I was so drawn to this that it sparked a conversation between my coworkers. And I flipped them around. I said, man, it's crazy. This is another example of how quick your life can be snuffed out. And actually, it was an opportunity for me to witness the gospel to many people that was there, because I said, you know, the Bible says our life is but a vapor. We're here one day, and like the morning dew that comes upon the grass, it's here for a moment and then it's gone. I'm like, this man, no doubt, was just probably on his way to work or on his way to do his routines or whatever he was doing. He never thought that was going to be the last day he would have on this earth. And here it is. He blew a tire. His car fishtailed, went on ongoing traffic, and now he's in eternity. And everybody, of course, they got very somber, and they were like, yeah, that's crazy. You know how sinners are. They're like, yeah, you know, that's crazy. And then they immediately go on to something else. But you're planting seeds. So anyway, I talked about that. Then at that time, I was living in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, and I was living with my roommate, who was the same guy who led me to the Lord. He's the one that I credit that God used to pray me in, to sow the seed, to live the life as an example and lead me to the Lord. Now, sadly, he's completely fallen away, backslid, running from God, and is now living a homosexual life. You guys need to pray for him. And I'll tell you a whole story on that one day. Well, I don't think very few people's probably heard that story, but that was a supernatural thing of God, how God supernaturally revealed to me before he ever told me that he was backslid. And the repercussions, if I was to condone that lifestyle, permit it. I don't want to get in. Lord, help me to stay on track, folks, because I'll put a note in. I'll do a whole message on that. We'll do a podcast on that. Because your associations are huge. Your fellowship, who you associate with, can either make you or break you. Are you hearing me? They can either promote you or demote you in your walk with God. Again, that's a whole other podcast. We'll do it on another segment. So anyway, I was a roommate with him. This was before I wasn't even engaged yet, guys. My wife at that time was still my girlfriend. We wasn't even engaged. We knew we were going to be together, and But we were still not, you know, we still had not gotten married, and we were making these plans. But that's how early on in my walk with God this was. So I was a roommate with my roommate friend, again, who was a youth pastor at that time. And I remember I came home from work that day, and we were hanging out in the apartment. And I remember my wife, which was my girlfriend at that time, was there, and her friend was there. And then my roommate was there, and then another friend of ours was there. There was four people there, or four or five people. I don't know how many people was there. It's, man, this was 24, 23 years ago. And somehow in that conversation, this was on my heart still, and I brought it up in conversation. And the same thing like I did when I was at work. I said, guys, look, you know, I was like, I read a story today, and I began to recite this story and told them, what happened and what and how, you know, the repercussions of how it turned out. So I began to, of course, begin to share this with them, and it triggered probably an hour long conversation about eternity and about, you know, life, and we had very deep conversations that. So anyway, I went to bed that night, still on my mind, and I'm sitting here thinking, Lord, why is this so pressing on me? I'm like, the man's, you know, he's already died. He's went into eternity. Am I supposed to, I know I'm not supposed to pray for him because he's already gone. I can't pray for him, but I can pray for his family. Am I supposed to pray for his family? And I never really got an answer, but I was so, there was such a weight on me about this. I just couldn't shake it. So watch this now. I'm going somewhere with this. So the next morning I got up, I had to go to work. It was during the work week. So I don't know what was going on that morning. Something happened where I was kind of running late, and I didn't get to pray that morning like I wanted to. So I was scrambling to get in my car, get on the road. Remember, I had to go 65 north, and I had to travel about 30, 35 minutes to get to my destination. So I'm actually in my car. And at that point, during that time, I had it was a two-door red 1992 Nissan Sentra. Lord, I will never buy another. Lord, listen, if you drive a Nissan, please don't get offended at me. But as for me and my house, no, we will never. I had more troubles with this car than I could imagine with this Nissan Sentra. So I will never, I swore that day, come on, I would never own another Nissan again. But anyway, I had a 1992 two-door red Nissan Sentra. And this car, I mean, this was so old that it had the emergency brake in the middle. Remember the handle? You push the little button on the emergency brake and you pull up on it. It had that. There was no, it had a CD player. No, it had a tape player, a cassette player. It didn't even have a CD player, I don't think. I don't remember it. I don't think it did. It had a cassette player. So anyway, I'm on my way to work and I'm running late. So I'm praying in the car. And I'll never forget this ever. I will remember this to the day that, you know, that either I go in the air or I go and I just pass from this life into eternity, whatever that looks like. So I'll just never forget this. So I'm praying. I said, Lord, you know, I was praying for my day, praying for, you know, Melissa, praying. At that time, we didn't have kids, praying for my family, praying for the day. And the last words out of my mouth was, Father, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around me, that you'd keep me from any harm, danger, any disabling accidents. And I profess the blood of Jesus over my vehicle and over my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Literally, guys, within, I would say, 30 seconds, not even a minute's time, I heard something. Something happened in the back of my car. What I didn't know then, but I know now, I blew a tire in the back of my tire. I started fishtailing. There was four lanes northbound, median, four lanes southbound, shoulder. I blew a tire, started fishtailing all four lanes of northbound. My car, I remember I tried to grab the wheel at one time, but the force of the impact was so great that I could not grab the wheel, and I was pinned up against the car seat, or the door right here, the driver's door. I was pinned up against it. I remember that. And I just remember it was like a blur, and I just closed my eyes because, honestly, guys, that moment, I thought it was over. I'm like, here it is. It's over. I'm going into eternity. I'm going on to be with the Lord. I just closed my eyes. The next thing I know, I'm opening my eyes, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, where am I? And I look, and the first thing I noticed was I'm seeing cars coming at me, but I'm safe. But I'm seeing cars coming at me. And I look over to my left, and there's a big, like, it almost looks like it's the Rock. It's where they blew out the quarry and they build the interstate. And so I see all the rock coming down, and I realize at that point that I'm in the shoulder. But I'm not on the shoulder of the northbound. I'm in the shoulder of the southbound lanes all the way. So I'm looking over across the highway, and I realize that my car has traveled across four lanes northbound, over a median, across four lanes southbound, and now I'm sitting in the shoulder facing oncoming traffic while they're going by me. That's what I know. And then the next thing I realize is, wait a minute, I'm alive. This is not a dream. I'm alive. I made it through this. I didn't die. Nobody hit me. And I was so, like, perplexed by this. So I'm shaking. My adrenaline's rushing. My heart's beating out of my chest. And all of a sudden, I hear somebody comes up by me and is on my window of my car. And I look, and I remember I had these really dark tinted windows, so I had to roll down my window. And there was a man standing there. And I'll never forget this, too. He looked at me and he said, brother, he said that was some, and he used an explicit word, that was some heck of driving there. That was some heck of a driving skills going on right there. I was like, what do you mean? He said, I saw the whole thing. He said, I was over here in this, I was going southbound, saw you flying over the median. He said, you dodged this car, then you turned and made it across this and dodged that car. And he says, it's amazing that you made it over on the shoulder and nobody touched you. I said, and I looked at this man and I said, brother, I never touched the wheel. I said, I was pinned up against the door and I closed my eyes. I didn't touch the wheel. Come on. I could have wrote the song, Jesus, Take the Wheel. Come on, somebody. I could have wrote that song because literally Jesus took the wheel that day. Now, I know Jesus himself didn't, but the angels of God absolutely did. And I told him, I said, I never touched the wheel. And he looked at me and he said, well, somebody was watching over you. And I said, absolutely. I agree with that. And he said, well, you know, and he asked me, he said, do you need help or anything? And I said, no. And I had a cell phone at that time. I had to, come on. How many members of the flip phone Motorolas? Anybody ever had one of those flip phone Motorolas? Listen, you could drop one of those suckers from a two-story building and it would crack the pavement and it would not hurt the phone. Come on. Why can't they make phones out of that? Come on, can I get a witness, somebody? Well, they need to bring back that material. Make our phones out of that material instead of this goofy stuff that they're making out of now. But anyway, I had a flip phone. I went to call the police, but somebody had already called them. They saw it. So as I'm sitting there waiting, or actually what happened is I got out of my car and I looked at my car and I noticed, of course, my tire was blown on the right, but then the two tires on the left, this is so amazing, guys. The force was so great from where I was thrown across the interstate where the car was sliding that it peeled the tires underneath the rims. So the car was, it was undrivable. It was almost like, who's got kids? You know what I'm talking about? You know those toy cars where you could take the tires off of the rims and you could peel. You could take your fingers and you could peel the tires right off those little rims. This is what my tires did on my car. They were bent under the rim. And I was like, wow. And then I got in my car because I was looking for, you know, I was just making sure everything was right. I was looking for everything, make sure everything. And I noticed one of the things I noticed was my console where the emergency brake was with the handle was completely crushed. It was completely crushed from the force of my body being thrown around. Now, remember, I don't remember any of this. All I remember, I was up against the door, I closed my eyes, and I opened my eyes. Somehow, through this process of me being flung this way and that way or whatever happened, the force of me, because remember, this is pinned up against the door, but in order for this to crush this console right here with the emergency handle, I would have to be pinned like this. And I realized that. So when I saw that, I was freaking out. So I looked and I was like, oh my gosh, do I have a bone fracture or an injury to my body on my hip? Guys, listen to me. There was not a single bruise on my hip, my leg, my thigh, nothing. There was no pain, nothing. Okay, so I'm just telling you that I knew at that time that God had supernaturally protected me. That was no question. I knew that, but I didn't know the magnitude of why yet, but I was about to. So then, of course, the police showed up. Boom, they come up behind me. Two officers got out of the car. Are you okay? Yes. What happened? Told them. Description. Report. They said, we're going to tow your car. We're going to take it. You can't drive the cars. You know, you're not going to be able to, they set all that up for me. They put me in the car, the police car. They drove me back to our apartment. So I get there. They drive off. I get out, go into the apartment, and I, walk into the apartment. Of course, I'm still shook up. And the first thing I did was I picked up my phone and I called Melissa and I said, okay. I said, listen to me. I said, don't freak out. But I was in an accident. And of course, she started freaking out. And man, we've come a long way because she probably wouldn't freak out today because now she's a nurse practitioner. At that time, she wasn't. She was not a nurse practitioner. It's amazing how nursing school and being exposed to things like trauma and this. I don't know if this is a bad thing or a good thing, but it almost desensitizes you to things where it's not shocking to you anymore. Like you're more calm and demeanor, which is a good thing, I guess, if you're an emergency worker, medical personnel or whatever, and you got to, you know, your job is to save people. You've got to have a cool mind. You got to have, you know, all everything together. So that makes sense. But anyway, so of course she was freaked out. And I said, no. I said, God protected me. He looked over me. I didn't even get a scratch on me, but the car, you know, it's done. You know, we're going to have to get repairs on it, whatever. So anyway, we carried this conversation out. Then I'll never forget this. Went into the bedroom, and I had to call my work and say, hey, I'm not coming in. Laid on my bed. Remember this, I laid on my back and I just started, Lord, I thank you. Father, that I recognize that you protected me. You kept me safe. Thank you for protecting me today. I'm very grateful that you protected me. And I just start weeping because, you know, I'm so grateful that he protected me and he kept me safe. Then, guys, this is where it happened. As I'm laying there, I did not hear the audible voice of God speaking in the room. But in my spirit, man. Now, remember at the very beginning of this message, I pulled up Galatians, and y'all think that, some of y'all still scratch your head saying, well, I still don't understand how this connects with this testimony. Here's where it is. Galatians 5, what did Paul say? Walk in the Spirit so that you may be mindful of the Spirit, that you can have an ear to the Spirit and be in tune with Him, right? So I'm laying there in bed and I'm praying to the Lord, thanking him for for protecting me. And I hear in my spirit, man, son, the reason why you were so compelled to read and observe that incident, that accident that took place. And he, and the Lord began to bring to my remembrance the day before when I was at work. I was reading that newspaper about that man who was traveling northbound and blew a tire and fishtailed all those lanes and went into ongoing traffic and killed, I believe, himself and another family. The Lord began to remind me of that. And he said, the reason why you were so drawn to that story was because, listen to this, because I was showing you how the enemy desired to sift you and to take you out before your time. Now stop. If y'all think that's not biblical, I can take you into the New Testament where Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. Wow. Notice what he said there. I prayed for you, Peter. I didn't pray that I didn't pray Satan away. I didn't pray the temptation away. I didn't pray the trial away. I pray that your faith faileth not. Now let's go back to where I'm laying in this bed. And the Lord speak to me and said, I revealed to you how the enemy desired to take you out. Now this was blowing me away, and I'm laying there like trembling under the fear and trepidation of God. And he says, this is how Satan desired to take you out. But I have spared you this day because I have called you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friends, you want to talk about weeping. I was a broken man, shaking under the power of the Holy Ghost, weeping my eyes out. And that was 23, 24 years ago, and I will never forget that day. And so I remember, I don't even have that written down in a journal, because listen, you have these encounters with God, friend. You don't need to write. I'm not saying you shouldn't write them down. You should. I'm not telling you don't write them down. You should write them down. But there's some things, friends, that I don't understand these people that have these encounters with God and they don't remember them. If every legitimate true encounter of God like that supernatural that I've had, I don't have to write that down because it is embedded in my memory forever and in my spirit. I'll never forget that. So what's the point of me telling you this? Number one, listen to this and listen to me very carefully. One, it gives God glory. Thank God. Praise God. Listen, I'm here today telling this testimony through this ministry that God has birthed and ordained for such a time as this, because God spared me that day on that interstate. Because the enemy saw all the way to 2024 and saw the impact that our ministry is making, the lives that are being changed, the lives that are being equipped, the lives that are being set free, the lives that are being saved. That was a threat to the kingdom of hell. Somehow Satan knew. I don't understand all this, guys. He's not omnipotent like God. He's not omnipresent. But Satan has he has limited understanding and knowledge of the future. And that we could get a whole other podcast about that, and I could give you a lot more examples of how I know that. Okay. And you could find it in scripture, things that's been revealed to Satan. He doesn't know everything, but he knows enough that he knows the assessment of threats against him and his kingdom. So for whatever reason, and now I know, he saw a threat from me and from my family and from the future that our ministry would have. So, and because of that, he tried to take me out. And then that's not the only reason. That's not the only time he tried to do this, guys. I could go through my whole life. And even, listen, before I was even born, I found letters from my mother, my biological mother, where she, again, remember, she was raised in the church and she backslid and she got pregnant with me out of wedlock, and she contemplated on getting an abortion. But my spirit-filled auntie, again, depending on where you're from, my spirit-filled aunt. I'm looking at these letters. These are exchange letters. I found these in boxes after my mom went on to be with the Lord in 2005. They had this whole dialogue on these letters because my mom lived in Kentucky. My aunt lived in New York, and my aunt and my mom was old school, and they were still writing letters back and forth. And my aunt was writing to my mother and telling my mother, which her name was Mary. And she says, Mary, don't abort this child. Keep this child. Let this child live. I believe the Lord has showed me that this child is going to be a great blessing. He's going to be a great blessing to you, our family. He's going to be a great blessing. So please let this child live. And they were talking about me. Do you realize what that does to you when you read these kind of letters and realize that you were this close? The devil, come on, was this close from convincing my mother to terminate her pregnancy. And if that would have happened, you would not be hearing Brother Ricky's voice today. You would not be hearing this testimony today. But come on. But God, what the enemy intended for evil, God turned around for good. Good Lord, I could preach right here. Because see, oh, come on, somebody. After I got saved in 2000, God used me, come on, to bring my mom out of captivity and turn her heart back to the Lord before she passed away. So the devil lost another one. Hell lost another one. So I come by to tell you today, friend, Listen, some of y'all have made it into the introduction. Praise God. You've walked through the door of salvation. You're born again. Welcome to the family. Hallelujah. Even the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices in the very presence of angels over one sinner that comes to God. But listen, honey, there's more for you. God has got so much more for you. He wants you to walk in the Spirit. He wants you to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Why? Why, Brother Ricky? Listen, I'm not going to touch on why you need the power of the Holy Ghost. That's a whole other podcast. But let me tell you the importance of walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, then you're not being driven by your flesh. When you're walking in the flesh, friend, you don't have the mind of God. You're consumed with the cares of life. I got to get to this appointment. I got to get my kids to school. I got to get them to practice. I got to get them to the game. I got to get them to the rehearsal. I got to do this for my husband. I got to do this for my wife. I got to hurry up and get to work. I got this. I got paperwork. I got this. I'm behind on this. I got to get this project done. I've got to get this done. So your mind is constantly, you're on social media. You're scrolling through TikTok. You're on Facebook. You're watching Netflix. You're watching sports. You're watching the game. You're doing. And so you're always feeding the mind or the flesh, sorry, the carnality, the carnal nature. And all the while you're out, you don't ever stop to think that the Bible says man makes plans and preparations in his heart, but it's the Lord who leads his step and leads his steps. Translation, you may think it's just another day at the office. It's just another work day, Brother Ricky. I'm getting up. I'm getting my coffee. I'm getting my breakfast. I'm doing my workout. That's not going to happen with me. I'm not a morning workout person, so that's not going to happen. But anyway, if you're a morning workout person, you got your routine. You do your breakfast. You do your shower. You get cleaned up. You get dressed. You get in your car, and you go to work. You're at work. You're going through the motions. You're doing this day in and day out. It's like Groundhog Day. Boom, boom, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever the case may be, whatever that looks like for you. All the while, your mind is all wrapped around this. But if you're walking in the Spirit, you will realize Proverbs 3:5-7, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You will recognize the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. In Hebrew, the word ordered means set up. God, I've come by to tell you today that God is setting you up every day. If you're walking in the Spirit and in tune with the Spirit, there will be divine appointments that God has put in your path with people, with places and with situations. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you will recognize that. Thus, watch this. If I had been not in my word, not in prayer, not in fellowship, not in his presence, but I was feeding my flesh all this nonsense, then I would have never I would have never looked at that newspaper, recognized the story. Maybe, listen to this, maybe not even have prayed that day. And who knows what would have happened, what if the outcome is. So thank God, because I was in tune with the Spirit of God, was obedient to the Spirit of God, I heard and recognized my calling. And now, listen, when all hell breaks loose, anytime hell breaks loose, I always, Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, with the prophecies that's been spoken over you, wage a good warfare. Anybody ever heard that scripture? You ever read that scripture? Do you want to know the context of that scripture? The reason why Paul had to write Timothy and tell him to with the prophecies that's been spoken over you, to wage a good warfare, is because this was blowing me away one time when I studied this. It's because Timothy was a young pastor, and Timothy was being intimidated by the older pastors and elders of the churches in which Paul put him as a young pastor over, as an overseer. And because Timothy was young and didn't have the experience as some of these older pastors and elders did, they were coming against him. They were saying he's not qualified. He doesn't have the skills. He doesn't have this and this. But Paul had to affirm him. Timothy, listen, you are qualified. You're called. You're skilled. You're qualified. You're gifted. Paul, over and over, you can read the letters to Timothy. He told Timothy, he said, I recognize the faith that you have. It was the same faith that your mother possessed, your grandmother possessed. He tells him, he says, be an example, Timothy, to others by word, by spirit, by conduct, by your lifestyle. So he's constantly affirming Timothy, because Timothy was Paul's spiritual son in the faith. So when Timothy was down, and because Timothy didn't feel qualified, he didn't feel qualified to be able to be the pastor that God had called him to be, Paul then wrote to him and says, Timothy, I know hell's breaking loose against you. I know Satan is stirring up people against you. I know they're lying on you. They're coming against you. But I come by today, and I wanted to remind you that you have prophecy that has been spoken over you, prophetic words that's been given to you in the church, by elders, by the laying on of hands and spoken over you. He said, you need to take out your journal and wage a warfare with those prophetic words. What does that mean? Here's what it means. When God gives you a rhema word, like he gave to me on multiple occasions, one example is my mother. You've heard this story. I'm not going to rehash all this. God showed me that she would come back to the Lord in a dream. I had a dream, full color, three dimensional. It was a dream of God, where God was using me to pray her back in and to restore her back into, because again, she was completely backslid, fell away. And I, listen, I'm not going to get in a theological debate with you, but I'm going to tell you something. God gave me that dream, and I prayed her through, okay, in the dream. So, and I was praying for her, and I was interceding for her, and I was standing on promises like Acts 16:31, believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your whole household shall be saved. Okay, so I was standing on his promises, and then I had a prophetic word from a real prophet who spoke to me, didn't know my name, didn't know my situation, didn't know anything about me. And he said the Lord showed him that I'd been on my face 3 nights before I came to that meeting and praying for my mother and my stepfather to become to the kingdom of heaven and be saved, be born again, come to the kingdom, be assured of their salvation. And the Lord spoke to that prophet and said, the Lord had heard my prayers. Now, friends, that is a prophetic word. There's a dream. There's a prophetic word. I wrote these things down in my journal. Why? Because when all, as time progressed and the devil would try to whisper in my ear, your mother is going to die in her sins and she's going to go to hell and she's going to be an alcoholic. And the devil was quoting scripture. After all, this is what he said. After all, the Bible says that no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom. You think the devil don't know the scripture? He knows the scriptures. He twists them. So all this, the devil just nagging. Oh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. This is not going to happen. This will never happen. You know what I had to do? I had to pull out my journal and remind him, thus saith the Lord. No. That God's already shown me this. God spoke the word through the prophet. God gave me a dream. So you know what? The devil is a liar. And I've come by to tell you today, you know who won in the end? It wasn't Satan. It was God. God fulfilled those promises. So I want to take this moment right here today. I don't know who this testimony needs to be heard from. You never know who you're talking to out here. Maybe you're listening again. You've walked through that introduction. You're born again. You're saved. You're serving God. The next thing I want to encourage you to do, I implore you guys, you've got to get in the Word, get in prayer, get a devotional time with God, get into His presence. Then when you start praying and seeking the face of God, praying, reading the Word, get in His presence, the next thing you need to do is you need to find a Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, doctrinally sound church. If you can't find one in your area, for whatever reason, listen, anybody, I get attacks from people all the time that don't like us, they don't like me, they don't like what we preach. But the one thing they can never do is accuse us of pulling people out of churches, because I don't do that. Here's what I say. I'm not intimidated by pastors or shepherds or preachers or whatever the case may be. I believe that people are going to naturally gravitate towards shepherds that were going to properly feed them and equip them. Come on, and prepare them for true spiritual warfare and for living a real true Christian life. Are you here? Oh, I got to say that again. I believe that people will naturally gravitate towards churches or ministries, whatever that looks like. For some of you, our ministry is your home church. And I understand that. But people are going to navigate towards, and they're going to gravitate towards shepherds that are feeding them the whole gospel. People, I get the emails, the messages, the letters constantly from people that are tired of lukewarm, passive, come on, jelly-spined churches that won't preach on what the Bible preaches on. They won't preach on sin. They won't preach on the cross. They won't preach on the need of repentance. They won't preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. None of the gifts. They don't touch on Bible prophecy. They tell you not to read the book of Revelation. These are the people I'm telling you, I can put a whole stock of letters that we get from people, and it breaks my heart. And I'm just, listen, guys, I'm very thankful that our ministry blesses you and encourages you, equips you, it feeds you. And that's what we want to do. That's why God spared me that day, 23 or 24 years ago, because this is the ministry that He's called us to do. But listen, some of you out there, somebody's listening to this. Number one, get saved. Praise God. You got saved? Great. Number two, get in the Word. Establish yourself. Be rooted and grounded in the word of faith that you're not blown by every wind of doctrine. Get into fellowship with other believers, whatever that looks like for you. If this is it, the ministry and the chat, get connected with them. You're emailing each other, you're messaging each other, your phone calling. What fellowship? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the matter of some as the day approaches. That is not, listen to me, that doesn't mean just a church. I know some of these preachers get up and they say, well, it's the church building, church, but no, listen, whether two or more gathered in His name can be in a building. It can be in wherever that you can gather together. Come on, let's not be stupid about this. Let's use some common sense here, because there's people in underground churches in China and Russia and North Korea and Iran and different places like that. They can't gather in buildings like this. So they have to gather where they can, as an ecclesia, that's the Greek word there for church. All right. So number one, get saved. Number two, do these things that's going to grow in your faith, reading the word, praying, all this. And number three, watch this. As you begin to walk in the Spirit, because that's what's going to happen when you're in the Word, you're in tune with the Word, you're in worship, you're in praise, you're in fellowship, you're in prayer, you're going to walk in the Spirit. Be mindful of where you're at. Look around. Look for opportunities where God's speaking, because you're asking Him all the time, God, show me this, show me that. This is why, listen, I get tickled by these people that say, everything in life, they attack us. Of course, these sensationists attack people like us because we teach stuff like this, walking in the spirit. My whole testimony I told you about the Lord calling me, the dreams, these testimonies, if they listened to the podcast I did 2 days ago, they'd be foaming at the mouth because they absolutely 100% believe that God does not use people like that today. They don't believe he speaks in dreams. They don't in visions. He doesn't speak to them by the Spirit of God. He doesn't reveal things of the future. They don't believe any of that stuff. So they would absolutely have a field day with this. So if you're around those people, you need to get away from those people because listen, God will speak. Number one, he'll speak through the word of God. That's number one. That's great. Number two, he'll speak through the Holy Spirit. Number three, he'll speak through people. He'll speak through people, other people. If you're listening, if you're in tune with the Spirit, he'll speak in dreams. He'll speak in visions. He'll speak in circumstances. Are you hearing me? God has many ways to speak. Even in the book of Job, it talks about this. God may speak in one way and he may speak in another, in a dream, in a vision, in the still of the night. He talks about in the wee hours of the night when men are laid down and they're at rest. So if you're listening and you say, well, Brother Ricky, I want to know what my calling is. I want to know what my purpose is. Listen, unless the Lord gives me a word of knowledge, which how many people's watching, listening? I just don't think that's going to happen. It could for somebody, but here's what I feel in my heart to share with you. You have got to seek the Lord with all of your heart. Ask, the Bible says, seek and knock. He that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh, the door shall be opened. Read it in there, guys. It says, if you, being a father, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The Bible says in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. You're not praying amiss today when you're asking him, Lord, show me my purpose. Show me my calling. Show me the will of God for my life. So I want to pray for you today. I promise you guys, based on what the Bible tells us, not on my opinion, but you know, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Wow. Now listen, I just got I felt a confirmation, a check in my spirit when I said that. That's the corporate word right here. Let that soak in. Jeremiah 33:3. If you want to know where that's at, you can highlight that, underline it. The Lord says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Friends, there's things about you that you don't even know about. There's things that God's called you to that you don't even are aware of. He truly has great things in store for you, but it's our job to seek him because that's where the answer is. So come on, will you pray with me today? Why don't you receive this word today? Father, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, I come to you today and I ask that you would confirm this word with signs, wonders, and miracles. Father, for the hungry, for the desperate, for those that are seeking the will and the purpose of God, the plan of God, and the calling of God for their life, I pray, Father, that they would position themselves in a posture to receive. They would get into the word. They would get into prayer. They would get into their devotion. They would get into a time of corporate fellowship and gathering to other believers. They would set themselves in an environment where they can receive. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that whoever this is for, that they would begin to they would begin to shed off of them all the doubt and the unbelief and the negativity and the naysayers and everything that's clouding them from hearing from you. Lord, I believe there's people that are listening today and people, they've been around people that may have influenced them and told them that God doesn't do the supernatural anymore, that God don't speak in dreams anymore, and God doesn't speak in visions anymore. So because of this, you have neglected God speaking in a matter of dreams to you. Some of you, you've had dreams, but you've had these people that don't believe in and that God works today and speaks like this. So they've convinced you that, oh, that's not of God. Write that off. That's just a pizza dream. No, you need, listen, I'm not saying every dream is from God either. You got to use discernment. God's not going to, he's going to use the confines of his word. There's typologies, there's pictures, there's images, there's symbolisms. There's what's called the law of first mention. He's going to speak to you through the terms of the Bible, and you got to interpret that and understand that. Okay. So for some of you, that's what's going on. It's going to be a matter of just like, again, like an onion. I always use that expression. You got to peel this thing back. And once you peel off all the negativity and the doubt, the unbelief and the false doctrine that people try to feed you and all the naysayers, and you get to the core of this thing, and you know what you're left? You're left with hunger. You're left with your desire to know everything of God. And just like he said in Jeremiah 33:3, set yourself in a place where you can call unto him and hear him. He said, I will hear you. Call unto me and I will answer you. And God says, I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. So you know what that means? You've got to be actively looking for the answer. I've always found it intriguing. He says, ask, seek, and knock. We ask, but then we seek. You ask, come on, you ask for something from God, but then you go seek for it. And then if you ask and you don't receive, and if you seek and you can't find it, then you start knocking. Come on, faith without works is dead. Come on, somebody, help me out. Where's my amen row? Where's my hallelujah row? I need to hear you right now. Come on, clap, praise God. Give God some glory today. Father, I thank you today that you're going to speak to your people and you're going to reveal your plan to them and the will of God for them. I thank you for the great testimonies that will come out of this, the great encounters that they're going to have. Father, because you have called your people up to be the hands and feet of the gospel, and you're raising people up in this hour to go into the highways and byways and compel them to come into the house of the Lord. And I give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, do you receive this word today? Listen again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, right there on your screen. That's our free app. You can get all of it today. All of our headlines, all of our podcasts, all of our breaking news. Everything's going to be right there by just simply downloading it and hitting yes to push notifications. And always, we always want to give you an opportunity. If this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, all of the above, and you want to, and you prayed about becoming a monthly partner, and you would like to become a monthly partner, you would like to sow into this ministry, partner with us. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way to do that. Or you can go to the main website right there on the screen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or you can give by check or money order. And you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So listen, guys, we love you. We appreciate you. We're going to sign off for tonight. We have one more night lined up for you tomorrow. Now, tomorrow's going to be a prophetic message. So you guys that like prophecy and prophetic messages, tomorrow's going to be your night. There is a push now for what is called a global digital identification. And I am seeing multiple countries that are all trying to come on board with this and with this method and these systems to identify people and track people. And I'm going to show you tomorrow how all of this is laying the groundwork for the future Antichrist kingdom and his system of the beast in Revelation 13. So you don't want to miss this. Be sure to tune in tomorrow night, September 6th, Friday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.